and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Flooding in Maryland, Virginia, in D.C., New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, following the heavy rainstorms that have left 12 people dead, thousands getting out of the way of rising waters.
We got all our valuables, stuff like that, try to take them up to the third floor and hope for the best.
He's in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, where 200,000 people are evacuating because the rising Susquehanna River is right there. The problems are widespread, and the federal government is stepping in to help.
To blend federal and state efforts, a regional response coordination center has been activated in Philadelphia. The Department of Homeland Security says approximately 30 federal personnel are monitoring events, while FEMA deploys liaisons to state emergency centers in Maryland, Delaware, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and the District of Columbia.
CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato in Washington. Israeli troops have arrested a Hamas member of the Palestinian cabinet. Labor Minister Mohammed Barghouti, grabbed in the West Bank, believed to be part of the military action in response to the kidnapping of an Israeli soldier. Barghouti was on his way home at the time. President Bush wants additional help for veterans whose identities may be in the wrong hands.
President Bush wants Congress to approve more than $160 million in what would be emergency funds to help veterans whose personal information was on a laptop computer stolen from the home of a VA staffer. In a letter to the House, Mr. Bush says the money would help cover the cost of credit monitoring and other expenses since that theft.
CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer at the White House. The complaints primarily about Texas redistricting that former Congressman Tom DeLay was blamed or credited with shepherding to completion was its timing. It didn't wait the traditional 10 years, but happened midstream and led to six more Republican seats in Congress. The Supreme Court has ruled there was nothing wrong with the timing, and that is big stuff.
It's probably bad news for voters. Many of them are already confused by the constant redrawing of district lines. They're not sure who represents them. This will only increase the problem.
That's political analyst Larry Sabato. Hispanic political representation was hurt by the lines themselves there in Texas, so minor changes will be made to them. It started today. That's the theme to the new Superman Returns, grabbing a long opening weekend start. The FBI, meanwhile, has stopped a couple of groups of people who've been stealing from Hollywood.
The FBI and the Justice Department raided and arrested folks who are probably responsible for about 25% of all counterfeit movies worldwide. This is an enormous victory in the fight to curb movie theft on the internet.
That's Dan Glickman, head of the Motion Picture Association of America. On Wall Street, the Dow was up nearly 49 points to close at more than 10,973. The NASDAQ gained 11.5 points. This is CBS News.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. And right now it's our biggest Michelin tire sale of the year, with Michelin tires at their lowest prices of the season. You're going places this summer. Make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best. Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. See LN7806.
Somewhere between what a person is saying and what they're not saying, between what a person wants and what they need, lies understanding. For every client, everywhere, UBS has the distinct ability to listen, but more importantly, the commitment to understand. UBS, leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking, and committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
An advocacy group is suing over the new rule requiring proof of citizenship in order to receive tax-paid health insurance.
Attorney John Bowman says a new rule that starts July 1st essentially poses this unnecessary and illegal requirement on people already getting Medicaid.
All 50 million of you, by some estimates, need to come in here and document your citizenship, whether we think there's a problem with it or not.
Families USA further says requiring a birth certificate or passport is only for U.S. citizens. Legal immigrants entitled to Medicaid have no new ID requirements, and there's little evidence, the group claims, of illegal immigrants benefiting from Medicaid. They fear millions of poor Americans could lose health care they need. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
Los Angeles Animal Services isn't sure it wants Hooters' help promoting the idea of spaying and neutering pets to control the animal population. But Hooters says they'll hold a bikini contest anyway. Proceeds to go to the pet program. They're calling it Hooters for Neuters. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Last Wednesday, America cheered for the good, cringed at the bad, and went wild for the weird.
What was that?
This Wednesday, it gets even better on an all-new America's Got Talent. TV's biggest talent competition, where your vote decides who goes home with $1 million. All-new America's Got Talent at 9, 8 Central, NBC tonight.
July 4th is a wonderful day to relax.
Yeah, you get the drop cloth, I'll start taping.
Well, that's another way of looking at it.
It's the July 4th sale at Sherwin-Williams. This Thursday through Monday, save 25% on our high-quality paints and stains, 15% on Duration Premium Coatings, and an extra 25% on Easy Change Wallpaper. Hurry, sale ends Monday. Ask how. Ask now.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
Peter B. Collins.
Welcome to today's edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, produced fresh daily on the Left Coast. We've got no scripts, just a little outline of where we're going over the next 3 hours. You're invited to help us with this work of art in progress. Coming up in about a half an hour, we're going to talk about the renewed hostilities on the Gaza Strip. Israel has made another incursion there. Glenn Robinson from the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey will join us with some comments. Also on the program today, we talk about the city of Berkeley, California, which passed a measure yesterday putting impeachment of Bush and Cheney on the November ballot. We'll talk with one of the leaders of that campaign. Also on today's program, we've penciled in Congressman Sam Farr, the Democrat from the Central Coast. He's been leading the fight over salmon issues in Washington, trying to get some compensation for salmon fishermen who can't go out and do their work this year because of, the shift of water supplies that led to a shortage of salmon and the spawning this year. We'll get the details from the congressman coming up in our second hour. And also we're going to check in with one of the great progressive talk show hosts in this country, Doug Basham. He's heard in the evening on one of our affiliate stations, KSAC 1240 in Sacramento. And he's about to join the lineup next week on my flagship station, KRXA 540 in Monterey. And Doug's no stranger to us. He was on in Sacramento and in Monterey before. He's back in a different time period, and I'm looking forward to catching up with Doug a little bit later on. We're also going to talk about other issues in the news in the Free Speech Zone. That's in our final hour today. And at any point, you can join our conversation. Lines are open all the way through our program, and you're invited to participate. The number on the Central Coast is a local line, 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA. Or you can call us toll-free on 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com, and I welcome your comments, your input. People send me ideas for things to talk about on the program, and I appreciate that. Yesterday was very interesting. In the United States Senate, a measure that I deeply oppose, which is the resolution for a constitutional amendment to ban burning or defacement of the United States flag, it did not pass, and the margin was a single vote. They needed 67, and they got 66. Woke up this morning, picked up the paper, and learned that by a similar margin, an important piece of legislation was shot down in Sacramento yesterday. This is AB 651, authored by Assemblywoman Patty Berg of Eureka, who was on our program to talk about it a month or two ago, and it would have permitted terminally ill patients to end their lives. A compassionate choice, as it's put forward by the supporters of this issue. And the pivotal vote was cast by one Senator Joe Dunn, a Democrat from Santa Ana, who made several appearances on our program earlier this year for his primary campaign, which came up short, for the post of state controller. And I was pretty impressed with Joe Dunn, thought of him as a pretty progressive and even-handed guy. And I'm deeply disappointed that he cast the deciding vote in his committee to block the forward motion of AB 651 in the California State Senate. Now, we invited Senator Joe Dunn to come on the program today to explain his vote, and we were told explicitly that it wasn't a scheduling issue, but that he would not be available. And I find that disappointing as well. We're joined by Dottie Lemieux, a consultant to the Compassionate Choices campaign, and a colleague of mine. We've worked on campaigns in the past before. Dottie is also one of the leaders of the Progressive Democratic Caucus here in the state of California. Dottie, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Peter.
Must be quite disappointing to you and the supporters of this legislation to see it fail by a single vote, and from a Democrat who many people thought was going to vote in favor of it.
Yes, very disappointing. I was there yesterday in the chambers of the committee hearing room when this discussion took place and the vote took place, and Senator Dunn went on to great lengths to explain why he was voting the way he was. It was a very unsatisfactory answer that he gave, and it had to do with at some future time some changes could be made in the law that may allow people that were not terminally ill or were terminally ill but were not suffering in the way that the bill requires them to be to use this. And he said that big money would be influential in making those decisions. And people were very concerned about, you know, what was he really talking about?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard this discussed before in this context, and it comes from the conservative opponents. And it is an interesting hypothetical. It certainly is something that could occur. And the theory goes like this, that with the rationing of health care that is often performed now by HMOs, you go in for a procedure, and if they consider it, non-emergency, they'll tell you to come back 6 weeks, 9 weeks, or, you know, whenever they can get around to you. So they're already rationing health care. And in a worst-case scenario, opponents of assisted suicide claim that HMOs will have an incentive to help people die and die more quickly because it will save them money. And likewise, there is an argument that family members might encourage a terminally ill patient to end his or her life again early to save the family money, if not, trauma and a lot of pain. And I don't find these arguments very persuasive. They certainly are hypothetical cases that could develop. But the model here is Oregon's assisted suicide law. And to my knowledge, there has not been a case or even an allegation that health care rationing led to the premature or inappropriate assisted suicide of any individual. Are you aware of such a case?
No, quite to the contrary. And that was one of the strongest arguments that was made in favor of this bill, is the example of Oregon. It's been in place for 8 years, and it's been very sparingly used. It's had the opposite effect, in fact. And rather than in decreasing end-of-life care, it's increased end-of-life care. There has been better palliative or pain treatment since the bill was passed in 1997. There has been a greater use of hospice. People have been more open in talking to their physicians about what they wanted or didn't want at the end of life. So it's ironic that in California, big money is the ones who have been opposing this bill. The California Medical Association was very strongly against the bill, and that's one of the people, one of the groups with lobbyists in Sacramento, and the other big money interest is the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of ironic that Senator Dunn, who is very progressive in a lot of other issues, took a stand that he did in this issue. Now, we know that Senator Dunn is a Catholic, and he did talk with his bishop before he voted on this, and how much that had to do with it, we'll never know, probably entirely.
Right. Well, and also, just to, in a little bit of fairness to the senator, I wish he would have come on the program just to explain it personally. But he's termed out, and he didn't win the next office that he ran for, the controller's nomination in the Democratic primary in June. So for all practical purposes, he'll probably go back to a law practice and may not be seen in California politics again. I do consider him to be a sincere man. As you observed his comments in the hearing yesterday, did you find him to be sincere, or did you think that the comments he was making were fed to him by the opponents of this bill?
Well, he seemed sincere. He spoke, he sounded sincere. He said he had a heavy heart. He said he went back and forth on the issue. He spent a great deal of time talking about his conversations with bioethicists. And what it seemed to come down to from what he was saying was that he didn't really trust future legislators like himself to vote the right way should it come up for an expansion, that somehow they'd be influenced by big money or something. I mean, it was very strange, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So whether he's sincere, I know, just knowing him and knowing his track record in other issues, I have no reason to doubt his sincerity. It's just that there are so many people that this affects on a very personal level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the purpose of the bill, was to help those people, those very few people to whom it would apply, and it wouldn't set policy for anybody that didn't choose to use it. And looking at the example in Oregon, it has not led to what the opponents call the slippery slope, which
mm-hmm.
goes on to all kinds of scary scenarios that they were throwing about. And even Senator Dunn himself said that he wasn't buying the slippery slope argument, but then he went on to give his own version of it.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and return with Dottie Lemieux. She's been a consultant to the supporters of AB 651, the Compassionate Choices campaign here in California. And that campaign has come to an end because of the vote by State Senator Joe Dunn yesterday. We'll talk about this issue a little bit more in the next segment. And if you'd like to join us, there's room for your call. 831-899-5792. Or call me toll free, 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a filler affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Coming up shortly, we'll get an update on the situation in the Palestinian territories. Israel has made another military incursion there. We're going to get reaction from Glenn Robinson of the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey. We continue now with Dottie Lemieux. She's been a consultant to the Compassionate Choices Campaign, the supporters of AB 651, which was authored by Assemblywoman Patty Berg of Eureka, and it would have provided for terminally ill patients to choose to end their lives with the support of a physician. We call it assisted suicide.
Oh.
And it was defeated yesterday in committee in the state Senate, and the critical vote was cast by Democrat Senator Joe Dunn. And this is somewhat surprising. Dunn had not made a commitment to vote for it, I want to be clear, but many people believed that while he said he was undecided, that he would ultimately vote for it. And, Dottie, one of the issues here is that even if Dunn had voted for it, I'm not really clear on what your vote count was on the Senate floor, but ultimately it would have gone to Governor Schwarzenegger, who has pretty clearly said that he wouldn't sign it. He thinks this is something that, if it's adopted, should be through the initiative process.
Peter, can I clear up something that you said a second ago?
We yeah, go right ahead.
We don't actually call it assisted suicide. That's what they called it in Oregon, and a lot of people use that terminology. But suicide is something very different from this, which is we call it aid in dying to people that are terminally ill and are already dying, but who are in intolerable pain and suffering, and this is simply an aid in alleviating that process.
And I do understand the language is quite charged.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so we want to be a little careful with that. Governor Schwarzenegger didn't say he wouldn't sign it. He said he preferred to see it go to the people, meaning I think if he'd rather see it be passed on a ballot initiative. So he had the option of either signing it, not signing it, vetoing it, or just letting it sit there and pass into law without his signature. And we were hopeful that that would be the outcome mm-hmm. once it got passed in the legislature.
Yeah. What do you think will be next steps? I realize it's only been 24 hours, but has your group convened and discussed this?
Well, we had a conference call this morning and talked about some of the possibilities, and nobody's giving up, but the reality is that some of...
Oh, we've lost you there, Dottie. You still there? Matt, why don't you see if you can dial Dottie back? Something interrupted that conversation there. And if you'd like to join us with a comment, I'd appreciate that. 831-899-5792 or toll-free at 888-579-2540. As we mentioned, coming up next hour, we're going to talk about the Berkeley City Council's historic vote to put presidential impeachment on the ballot this November. And also next hour, we hope to connect with Congressman Sam Farr to talk about his floor fight over the plight of salmon fishermen here along the Pacific coastline. That's all ahead today here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And you can drop me an email if you care to, peter@peterbcollins.com. And we're waiting here to get Dottie Lemieux back on the line. While we are, I just have to say that for me, this is a very difficult issue because I thought that we had learned a significant lesson about end-of-life issues in the case of Terri Schiavo. And we saw the religious right operate in a way that was just unconscionable in interfering with the end-of-life choices of Michael Schiavo and in backing the tragically flawed arguments that she was somehow capable of cognitive behavior and those types of skills. And I have confronted this in my own life.
I got lost.
Where I had to assist people in making a decision to end life support for a loved one of mine. And it is an extremely difficult set of circumstances, and I find it the height of arrogance that the state would interfere in those kinds of very personal decisions. We've got Dottie back on the line. Dottie, I don't know how we lost you there, but you were in the middle of telling us what future plans might be.
The future plans are kind of up in the air. We know it's going to be taken up in the state of Washington and the state of Vermont, so those initiatives may go forward sooner rather than later. And with term limits, we're losing some of our best supporters in the Senate and the Assembly. So we know that some of the new people coming in support it. It may be brought up again next year. We're kind of deciding that now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And while you were disconnected there, I was just ruminating a little bit. And I thought that we had kind of learned a significant lesson from the Terri Schiavo case, that government shouldn't attempt to interfere in these very personal end-of-life decisions. What's your comment on that?
Oh, I totally agree. Government shouldn't attempt to interfere. And it's interesting that in California we do have measures that can be taken at the end of life. We have what's called terminal sedation, which allows a physician to give the patient something that will essentially render them unconscious while they voluntarily stop eating and drinking until they die. And that's sort of a long, drawn-out process, but that is now legal. And so what we'd be doing with our bill would simply be extending that a little bit to a more active role.
Mm-hmm. Well, and clearly, individuals who have some physical capacity always basically have the choice to end their lives. The problem is that many people become bedridden and incapacitated, and so the grisly choices available may not, be practical for them. But ultimately, I just think it's so off base to assume that you can legislate this behavior and control people's decisions under these circumstances.
Yeah, it's legislating morality, essentially. And we were hoping that we would get some of the Republicans who had been opposing the bill to come around by understanding that,
mm-hmm.
Because so many Republicans' mantras are less government.
Right.
And this is actually more government in a more personal way, and it's one of the ironies of modern political life.
It certainly is. Well, Dottie, thank you for your hard work on this issue. I know you're undaunted, and we'll regroup and try again.
Okay, Peter, thanks so much for having me. Love to talk
pleasure.
To you.
Anytime. Dottie Lemieux, She's been a consultant to the Compassionate Choices campaign. Coming up next, we'll talk about Israel's new military action in Palestine here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
This is Ed Asner. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
In Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that the pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, people for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped us have.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at the high levels of our government.
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people.
I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show live from the left coast. It's 33 minutes past the hour. And as I'm speaking right now, the military forces of Israel have launched another serious incursion into the occupied territories of the Gaza Strip. And in an interesting incident reported just about an hour ago, Damascus reports that Israeli warplanes were in the airspace of Syria in a hostile and provocative way today and flew over the country home of Syria's President Bashar al-Assad in the town of Ladeki. And the military of Israel has reported that they actually did this, and we also have reaction from Syria. So it appears that Israel is muscling up in a very serious way. And this comes on the heels of two significant events. One is that on this past Sunday, I believe, there was an incident where an Israeli soldier was taken captive by Palestinians, and Israel is pushing back to recover this hostage or kidnapped or, detained individual, a member of their military, and the Palestinians are resisting. The other key development is that the two rival movements in Palestine, Hamas or Hamas, as some people say, and Fatah, have agreed on a plan which recognizes Israel and appears to bypass the threatened referendum that President Mahmoud Abbas, the Fatah leader, had called for as a way to try to move forward and to bring Hamas on board with the existing policies of the Palestinian government. To tell us more, we have somebody who knows much more than I do. He's Glenn Robinson, associate professor in the Department of Defense Analysis at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey. He's the author of Building a Palestinian State, The Incomplete Revolution, that's from 1997, and he co-authored two Rand Corporation reports, Building a Successful Palestinian State and The Ark, a Formal Structure for a Palestinian State, that was published in 2005. Glenn Robinson, good to have you back on our program today.
Thank you, Peter.
Nice to talk with you, sir. And what is your immediate reaction to the military muscle being flexed by Israel?
Here we go again. Another example, I think, of how extremists really on both sides have veto power on any forward progress.
And even yesterday, our Secretary of State, Rice, was asking the Israelis to give diplomacy a chance. Now, that has many layers to it, because many people find that a little hypocritical on the part of the United States. On the other hand, it does seem that she was using some of her best offices to try to at least slow down this military response by Israel.
Right. Well, I think part of a large part of the reason why Israel goes in or has gone in the last 48 hours really is not a calculation of international treaties and diplomacy and all of that, but it's a response to a lot of domestic pressure. I mean, this government that had been had very high ratings even before it got elected has really sunk in the Israeli body politic. There's been just a lot of sort of disregard for it, and I think it felt, Olmert in particular, felt that it had to have whenever things happen, an Israeli government has to, feel strong to get popular support. This is the sort of thing they do. So I think they disregarded a lot of the pleas by people around the world, including the Arab world, to show more restraint, in part at least to solidify its place within Israeli domestic politics.
Well, and one reaction I had, Glenn, to Rice's comment was that it's window dressing. It's an effort to appear even-handed. I wonder if the back-channel communications are similar or different.
Well, I think the track record of this administration, when it came to the Likud government under Sharon, now of course under Olmert, under the Kadima label, has been to constantly give, if not a green light, at least a yellow light to a lot of these sorts of actions. For example, in the spring of 2003, when Israel reoccupied all the urban areas in the West Bank, and it was a very harsh operation. Initially, the administration said, pull out, you can't do this, but very quickly backed down and basically became supportive of the action. I think you see this pattern of giving really a free hand to the Israeli government to do almost anything it wants to do in the West Bank and Gaza.
Mm-hmm. And it occurs to me that the Israeli government really, I'm trying to put this as nicely as I can, but they don't seem to be able to demonstrate restraint when things like this occur. I mean, a single soldier has been taken captive, and they are responding as if, 4,000 civilians have been taken hostage, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just seems the scale is so off the charts, and it seems that Israel only knows the massive response, not anything that's more tactical or nuanced.
This is something that leaps out. I mean, I spent a lot of years living amongst both Israelis and Palestinians, and the thing that leaps out is a very, very common sentiment on both sides, frankly, that the other side only understands force. So if they do something, we need to respond forcefully. You get this mirror imaging of this language of we have to respond with force and massive force because that's the only thing that gets across to the other side. So, I mean, again, this has been a pattern on Israel, but just something you hear amongst the Palestinians as well.
And so given this context, do you believe that Israel was going to, you described the internal politics and the weakness of the Olmert government in its early stages here. Do you believe that this was inevitable because of those domestic issues you described, or was it truly provoked by the incident where this Israeli soldier was captured?
Well, certainly, I mean, as far as we can tell, the operation that captured the soldier and killed a couple of others seemingly was an operation that was a Palestinian operation that was trying to, again, internally focused, was trying to undercut the rapprochement between Hamas and Fatah. So it was, I mean, in a sense, both sides are responding to internal considerations. On the Palestinian side, the Izzet al-Qassam brigades, who really answer more to the external leadership than the internal one, I mean, there's a growing divide there, undertook this operation to try and kill off this rapprochement because they didn't want it. And the Israeli response, or as you put it, the over-response, I think, again, was responding to Israeli domestic pressure. So, as I said, in both cases you see the anti-peace elements, the more extreme elements on both sides, having veto over any kind of forward progress.
Mm-hmm. And so if we can try to separate these events, we have the incident over the weekend with the Israeli soldier taken captive, followed by the announcement Tuesday, if I'm correct, that Hamas and Fatah have reached some sort of an understanding,
mm-hmm.
and that Hamas will recognize Israel and try to at least reach the benchmarks that have been set by the U.S. and Israel for their acceptance as a legitimate government of the Palestinian people. So I'm just trying to get the provocation and response sequence in order here. At what point do you think Israel got news of this alleged agreement between Hamas and Fatah, and did they factor it into their response at all, or did they simply say, we're mad as hornets over this incident over the weekend, and nothing else matters?
The news of the accord was leaked a week ago. So this has been expected, and in fact the operation occurred on the day it was expected that they would actually have some sort of a signing ceremony between Abbas and Ismail Haniyeh, the Hamas prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
So the preparation for an operation by Hamas, by this group in Gaza, southern Gaza, clearly, that had been going on for some number of weeks and maybe even longer than that.
Yeah, because there was a big tunnel operation.
Exactly. The question is, when does the string get pulled? When does, and again, it appears from the various reports that one reads, that Khaled Mashal, and based in Damascus, the leader of the political bureau of Hamas on the outside, may have been the guy that was responsible for this. And the question is, when did he say go?
Mm-hmm.
And the timing seems more than coincidental that he said, get going as word leaked out that there was going to be this acceptance of the prisoners document by Hamas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as you look at the situation, of course, I don't expect that anybody in the Olmert cabinet called you for advice, but there appear to be other options here, where instead of blowing up bridges and taking out power plants in Gaza, a place that, is already a very difficult place to live in and, try to survive, It appears that Israel's compounding things there, where, to me, if they had used a diplomatic approach and used this new agreement between Hamas and Fatah, there might have been some wiggle room there to move forward with this without this kind of a military confrontation.
Well, you've just stated the position of, frankly, Israel's leading commentary, a commentator in Haaretz, who said this on Israel's sort of New York Times, if you mm-hmm. will, who made the case that this kidnapping ought to be used in a creative way, in a diplomatic way, perhaps actually doing an exchange of prisoners between this one IDF soldier and then Israel releasing the two authors, one from the PLO, one from Hamas, who authored the prisoner's document. Marwan Barghouti and a fellow named Natcha, who's from the Hebron area.
Right.
And that could be used in a creative way. There does seem to be an almost instinctive response by Israel in the past. And again, I mean, it was provoked with the kidnapping of its soldier.
Understood.
But there does seem to be an almost instinctive resort to collective punishment. In other words, this is my interpretation of this incursion. They probably don't have a whole lot of hope that they're going to actually get their soldier alive. In fact, the incursion probably increases the chances of him being killed in some
Agreed.
Way.
Yeah.
But this is for the future. Basically trying to send a message to the Palestinians that if this sort of thing happens again, we're going to come in and destroy your power plants, so none of you have electricity. That means a lot of you don't get water, hospitals can't function very well, et cetera. We're going to blow up your bridges, and a lot of you are going to die. So don't do this again in the future.
But I'm channeling Janis Joplin. When you got nothing, you got nothing to lose.
Gaza is a hellhole. There's no question about it.
Glenn, we got to take a break. We'll resume in just a moment. If you have a question or comment about the situation in Palestine right now, you can give us a call at 831-899-5792 or toll-free 1-888-579-2540. My guest is Glenn E. Robinson, Associate Professor at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey. We'll pick up there in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We're talking with Glenn Robinson, Associate Professor in the Department of Defense Analysis at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey. And, Glenn, what do you make of the item I mentioned at the open? It occurred about an hour ago. Israeli jets buzzing Syria, including the country home of its president, Bashar al-Assad. What's that about?
Oh, sending a clear message. Yeah, they apparently buzzed his home in Latakia, which is a port city on the Mediterranean coast of Syria. Khaled Mashal and the Hamas external leadership are based in Damascus. They're based
right.
in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And not just Hamas, some other DFLP, PFLP, and others, the sort of rejectionist front, as they're sometimes called, are based in Damascus. And Israel and the United States and, to some degree, Europe, but primarily Israel and the United States, have pushed Syria in the last couple of years to expel this leadership, particularly of Hamas. From Damascus, saying it's a terrorist organization, so therefore you're supporting terrorism if you're hosting the external leadership. So this was clearly a message being sent to Syria. Now, Israel has bombed Syria periodically. They did a year ago or so when they bombed some sort of a military camp, Palestinian military camp in Syria. So they have periodically flown their warplanes over Damascus and over Syria, sometimes dropping things, sometimes not.
Let's take a call. Carol in Santa Cruz, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Glenn Robinson.
Hi. Thank you for letting me talk for a minute. It's the first time I've gotten an opportunity to say how I feel about the Palestinians and the Israelis, and that is I feel very sorry for the Palestinians. I absolutely, my heart bleeds for them. If I was a Palestinian, I'd probably be out there doing bad things too. I think we've done terrible things to them. I think the United States is hand in glove with Israel. I don't feel sorry for Israel. I feel sorry for Palestinians. I think that's what all this war is about, is Israel and the United States, whatever they're getting from it. And I think we're in big trouble, and I think it's awful, just awful. When we go to Iraq and kill babies and children and innocents, no wonder they want to bomb us or whatever they want to do to us, blow us up with backpacks. I'd probably do the same thing. I mean, I feel like it sometime myself. Not that I'd do it, but I feel like it. I think we're just dreadful.
Well, Carol, I appreciate your comment, and I don't dispute it in any great detail. I do have some sympathy for Israel. It wanes when Israel operates in the manner it is now, which is this very condescending approach
mm-hmm.
to the Palestinians,
mm-hmm.
given that they've already got them trapped like rats.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, they've cut off large amounts of the Palestinians' own money that flows through the Israeli treasury.
Mm-hmm.
And they've taken a lot of these steps to isolate this new government. And, it sends these very mixed signals. Here's the U.S. proclaiming that it's, fomenting democracy and
mm-hmm.
liberating people in this part of the world, and
mm-hmm.
yet we do not work with our closest ally in that region to deal with the outcome of a democratic election in the Palestinian territories.
Yeah.
And so, fundamentally, I agree with you that the U.S. is on the wrong foot and is often seen as siding with Israel,
yeah.
to the detriment of the interests of Palestinians. Glenn, your comment?
Well, I think both of you are touching on an important topic, and that is the U.S. is losing, in my opinion, the battle for the story in the Middle East. That I think a lot of Americans have this one view of why the U.S. is in Iraq or involved generally in the Middle East. That is a very different view what have you, is not going over the same way in the region, and we're frankly just losing that that public relations campaign, and that in the, at the end of the day, that's the most important thing.
Well, I agree, and the president, the administration, seem either witless or just, you know, kind of caught up in their own mindset or biases in terms of trying to, you know, reach any type of balance. And I do acknowledge the comments of Secretary Rice, but they're rather tepid given the circumstances and the intent of the Olmert government. Glenn?
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. I concur. And I think what you're saying is, again, sort of the yellow light being given that the United States is, as I interpreted, is saying that, you know, Israel, don't let it get out of hand, but, you know, do what you need to do and try and get out of there in the next day or two.
Yeah. Carol, any final comment?
Not really, but I do give you a thank you for the opportunity to talk about it. But one other thing, what do you think, I haven't listened long enough to this part, what do you think about the new president of Israel? I thought that because he was the one that wanted to give parts of Israel back to Palestine, was it the Gaza, I thought maybe he was better than
Sharon?
We could hope for.
Yeah. Okay. Glenn, your comment?
Yeah, the Prime Minister, Moshe Katsav, is the president. He hasn't changed. But, yeah, Ehud Olmert came in. But the difficulty is, I mean, there is, a widespread sense in Israel that there needs to be more withdrawal. But Israel, in my mind, is still not fully confronting the problem, if you will. And the problem is not just leaving some more territory. And first of all, just leaving territory unilaterally, leaving maybe half the West Bank or three-quarters, whatever the amount's going to be, unilaterally doesn't address the issue. First of all, you still have the issue of a land grab. You also have the issue of refugees, which is central to the Palestinian conception of what the basis, what the core of the issue is. So in terms of having a really kind of frontal assault on the core issues of the conflict, that frankly still hasn't happened. I mean, there's been some progress in recent years and some regression, but in terms of a really honest, straightforward discussion of the core issues, we're still not there yet.
Carol, thanks a lot for checking in today. I appreciate your comments. Glenn Robinson, I don't expect that you have access to any classified briefings or U.S. intel, but given your sources and what you do know, do you think this is going to be a short episode, or do you think that Israel is going to maintain this posture to grind down the Palestinians?
It'll be both. I think it'll be a short episode in terms of the military presence in the Gaza Strip. I mean, of the IDF forces there, it appears right now that they're probably going to be going into the northern Gaza Strip to take out some areas in the Beit Hanun area where some of these crude homemade missiles have been launched at Esterot in the recent months. So we're not done yet. There's still more to go, and it'll probably take, you know, two or three more days. That's just my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Israel will pull out. There's no desire, except for, you know, extreme radical right, there's no desire in Israel to reoccupy in a very direct way the Gaza Strip. Now, the occupation never ended. I mean, the colonization of Gaza ended, but the occupation hasn't. I mean, Israel still controls everything that comes and goes and flies over the Gaza Strip, so it still is very much in charge of the Gaza Strip. But so I think that kind of grinding on, as long as we don't have progress towards a settlement, that kind of grinding on, as you mentioned, will continue, although it's not going to continue with a permanent military presence inside the Strip itself.
All right. Glenn Robinson, thanks for joining us. Just in a few seconds remaining, do you have a website like Al Haaretz that you would recommend to our listeners who'd like to get real-time information from Israel?
Yeah, the Haaretz.com is the and that's spelled HAARETZ.com is Israel's leading newspaper, and it has a very good website in English. I'd also recommend the Daily Star for English readers, the Daily Star, which is a daily that comes out of Beirut.
Mm-hmm. Got to stop there. Thank you, Glenn Robinson, from the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey. This is Peter B.
go.
Tom Hartman.
We have given our electoral process, the franchise by which democracy happens, the most vital part of the commons by which we administer the commons, we have privatized it. We have turned it over to private for-profit corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And they have no damn business telling us how we voted.
The new Radio Free America, Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Killer floods in the Northeast.
Hundreds of thousands of people are being forced to evacuate.
Israeli forces keep the pressure on.
This is the first time in 4 years that Israel has moved so many troops so quickly.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It sounds like the surf, but that's a flooded road in Phillipsburg, New Jersey, one community hard hit by days of torrential rain. Across the Northeast, flooding is blamed for at least a dozen deaths. CBS News correspondent Bianca Solorzano reports they're keeping a wary eye on the levees in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, which were built up after a devastating flood in 1972.
Officials have their eye right now on the Susquehanna River, which is expected to crest at 37 feet. The levee system there only holds up to 41 feet.
200,000 residents have been ordered to evacuate. CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts has more.
From now till sundown, neighborhood after neighborhood in Wilkes-Barre, the scene is the same. Families packing what they can as fast as they can.
It's exhausting, and we weren't prepared for it.
Authorities call it a precautionary measure. Diane Gray calls it the worst day of her life.
This is the first house I ever bought, so I'm praying.
She's not alone. All along the Susquehanna River in northern Pennsylvania, several towns have already flooded. Others wait for the worst to arrive.
Todd Jones wasn't waiting around. He and his family fled to higher ground.
We got all our valuable stuff like that, tried to take them up to the third floor and hope for the best.
Now this.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Did you know that during baseball season, Americans eat enough hot dogs to stretch from Yankee Stadium in New York to Dodger Stadium in L.A.? Or that the 2 billion gallons of ice cream Americans eat each year would fill 7 Empire State Buildings? Did you know condiments were invented to cover up bad-tasting food? Take a bite of the food that built America. Americans Eats, Thursday nights at 10, 9 Central, only on the History Channel.
Israel calls it Operation Summer Rain, an expanding military assault to rescue a captured soldier in Gaza. CBS News correspondent Sheila McVicker is there.
Tonight, as this crisis escalates, Israel is keeping up the pressure. Earlier, Israelis fired at what they said were manufacturing sites for Palestinian mortars and hit a training ground for Hamas militants. In the south of Gaza, Israeli tanks dug in at the old airport. While women and children fled their homes, Israeli jets dropped leaflets, warning their neighborhoods have become targets.
The pressure is also being felt in the West Bank, where Israeli forces arrested a member of the Hamas-led Palestinian cabinet, and in Syria, where 4 Israeli warplanes sent a message to President Assad by buzzing his summer home on the Mediterranean. Israel blames him for harboring Hamas terrorist leaders. The Senate Finance Committee decided today that it shouldn't cost us anything to file our tax returns electronically. CBS News correspondent John Harchie explains.
The Senate committee's bill would let us file our tax returns by computer without having to buy commercial software or using a professional to do it. The IRS would have 3 years to make electronic filing available through its website. Senator Max Baucus says it doesn't cost taxpayers to file a paper return, so they shouldn't have to pay to file electronically. But the IRS has said it would be expensive to do this, and some House members don't want the IRS competing with private preparers. So free online tax paying for the masses faces an uncertain future.
President Bush is asking Congress for more than $160 million to provide credit monitoring and fraud protection for the veterans and military personnel whose private information was compromised by the theft of a Veterans Affairs Department laptop. WTOP Radio's Hank Silverberg has learned of an identity theft involving the National Institutes of Health.
The scheme involved personal information on the 41,000 customers at the NIH Federal Credit Union in Rockville, which also serves George Washington University and some biotech firms. CEO Lindsay Alexander says the information was stolen, but so far there have been only a few people affected.
We are aware of a few members that we are working with directly.
Alexander is recommending that people with accounts get a credit report right away and monitor their statements carefully. Hank Silverberg for CBS News, Washington.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Last Wednesday, America cheered for the good, cringed at the bad, and went wild for the weird.
What was that?
This Wednesday, it gets even better on an all-new America's Got Talent. TV's biggest talent competition, where your vote decides who goes home with $1 million. All-new America's Got Talent at 9, 8 Central, NBC tonight.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Orkin Man,
hi.
My kids are under attack. They went outside to play.
Yeah.
Now invaders have surrounded them.
Oh, dear. Well, mosquitoes do prefer kids to adults.
My babies.
Just call Orkin. Orkin's been fighting invasions for over 100 years.
Oh, honey, stop, drop, and roll.
Bloodsuckers. We'll be out right away.
Protect your home. Protect your family. Orkin can help. Call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
This hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, we're going to hook up with Congressman Sam Farr to talk about the House battle today over salmon fishermen and a state of emergency for them. Also, one of my favorite talk show hosts, Doug Basham, joins us later this hour.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're Republicans, and people say we have. Somebody really drown. We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans, and people say we act like clowns.
The charges are piling up. Illegal surveillance of American citizens. Illegal detention of so-called enemy combatants at Guantanamo Bay. And the use of presidential signing statements to negate the intent of Congress in legislation as the president signs it. We need some impeachment. We need some regime change. Last night in the People's Republic of Berkeley, California, the city council unanimously passed a resolution to be the first jurisdiction in the United States to let its public vote for the impeachment of George W. Bush and Richard Cheney, the vice president. It's important to link the two because if you just get rid of Bush, Cheney moves right up the food chain. To talk about this, we have two Berkeley residents who support this measure. Abraham Nicely is one of the people who has been promoting this measure before the Berkeley City Council. Abraham, welcome to our program today.
Hello.
And did I pronounce your name properly?
Yes, you actually did.
It's spelled with a K, but the K is silent. K-N-E-I-I-S-L-Y. Is that right?
It's K-N-E-I-S-L-E-Y.
Oh, okay. I got an extra one, and I typed it myself. My apology. And also joining us is Saba Sohuria, who is described to me as a conservative Republican who supports impeachment. Saba, welcome to our program.
Hello, Peter.
Let me start with you, sir. What brings you to a position of saying you've had enough?
Well, first of all, the group that I've been working with on this is Constitution Summer. And going through the articles of impeachment that are held against George W. Bush at this time, found in a book put out by the Center for Constitution Rights, there are four articles which we believe have very strong cases and can be proved without doubt. There's evidence backing up all these charges. Among these, including the domestic spying, leading the country into war in Iraq, detention of U.S. citizens, and the absolute abuse of executive authority that is not supported by the Constitution. So just by looking at these charges and reviewing the evidence that is presented, it makes sense, regardless of what political party you affiliate yourself with, that impeachment is the answer in this case.
Well, I commend you for being an American first and a Republican second.
Thank you.
And I really think that if we had more principled Republicans, both speaking up as citizens and in our halls of Congress, that things would be very different right now, and that accountability would be something that would be applied even-handedly to Democrats and Republicans, given that Republicans control most of the mechanisms of government at this time. It's very hard to hold them accountable, and it's sad to me that too many Republicans don't see that accountability as important and as something that rises above party politics. Abraham, what brought you to this this effort?
Well, I've been active on these constitutional issues for a very long time. And, you know, I first got active in politics in 1994, actually, you know, watching the Rush Limbaugh show and criticizing the corruption of Democrats at that time. And I was 15, you know, and I was just looking for change. And I kind of went through the political cycle so that by 2000, you know, I was interning on the Carnahan campaign to get rid of Ashcroft and working on the Gore campaign. And, you know, I eventually just came to look at this issue. You know, we'd all be happy losing an election if, you know, the rules were followed and if the president, you know, actually was abiding by the Constitution. And, you know, we started talking together as students all over the country and saying, you know, whether it's Republicans, Democrats, Greens, you know, Libertarians, like, all of us felt that, you know, the Constitution needs to be followed first. And if you're not willing to follow those basic rules, then the rules that we abide by come first, not, you know, one person in office, and that the Constitution minimally empowers citizens to speak up about this in the hopes of getting representatives to pay more attention.
So, Abraham, you're a recovering or maybe a recovered ditto head?
Well, I mean, I was 15. The show was on. I've kind of considered it the daily show of its time, just kind of making fun of hypocrites in office. And, you know, I think that, you know, looking at the situation now, we, you know, see, you know, a lot of people in power just failing to live up to their oath of office. You know, I've always been very critical of power when it corrupts. And I think that, you know, that's what we're seeing right now, is people that are putting, you know, their own political party or, you know, their own term in office above their oath to the Constitution. And I think that's what we need to come together and actually look at, is, you know, trying to live up to that oath and live up to the ideals that have inspired people for 230 years now.
Now, Abraham, when you were listening to Rush Limbaugh, was it in the Bay Area?
Well, actually, I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh,
and,
okay. I was going to mention,
pretty much exclusively the TV show for me. But
I see. Because you know, I used to follow him on radio in San Francisco, and I was going to ask if you ever left the radio on. Well, this is very interesting, because many of the people who I talk with about impeachment are left and further left, and have no real history on the other side of the political spectrum. And so it's quite gratifying for me to hear you two gentlemen recognizing the significance of the transgressions of Bush and Cheney, and putting your own political history aside to address that. Because, again, if we had Americans who could do that on a regular basis, our country would be in much better shape. Saba?
Yes.
Go ahead and just tell me how you think the country would be if there were more people like you and Abraham.
Well, if the country as a whole came together and decided to actually follow the rule of law, I think that there would be generally fewer problems in society. Currently, the Iraq War has been a splitting movement in America. Mm-hmm. There's a wide variety of the population has a wide variety of opinions on it. Currently, individuals are against the war. That's what the recent polls have been showing. And if the rule of law was followed to begin with, then we would not even be in this war.
Yeah. Take a call. Dave's on the line from Humboldt this afternoon. Hi, Dave. Join us.
I, too, find that it's very encouraging that there are thinking people that can see, you know, the harm that is coming from this administration and change their mind. You were joined by, of all things, a South Carolina Republican congressman yesterday, Walter Jones, who found himself questioning very directly how we got lied into the war and what motivations were behind that.
So Walter B. Jones has embraced impeachment?
I don't know if I could say it that way, but he was certainly coming out that he felt we had been lied into a war and that was totally unacceptable.
Well, he is one of the first Republicans to embrace that position, and he did so about a year ago. There was a touching cover story on Mother Jones magazine, I would say January of this year, and it described his own personal path. It came from Walter B. Jones makes the effort to write a personal letter to the families of every soldier who has fallen in Iraq. And so he is now upwards of 2,500 letters, and he uses time on weekends to write those letters to people, and that's his kind of period of reflection. And over the months, and as he took on the task of writing these letters, meeting with some family members, it really opened his eyes and changed his mind. And he is a deeply religious man who has come to his position, I think, after a great deal of thought.
Well, I was certainly impressed. I understand they said it was represented a major change of heart for him, that he had been one of the ones committed to the war and whatnot. But
it's true. He was one of the people who led the charge to rename French fries Freedom Fries in the House cafeteria. So that gives you a sense of just how much of a turnaround he's made. Dave, thank you for the call today. We're going to take a quick break and then return with Abraham Nicely and Saba Sahuria. They are Berkeley residents who support the measure that was passed by their city council last night. It'll put it on the ballot this November, the first in the country, a referendum where voters get to decide their views on impeaching President Bush and Vice President Cheney. If you want to join the conversation, grab a line now, 831-899-5792. Toll free, 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this New Year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Good afternoon. Here's Metro Diane.
Well, we're going to start in Santa Cruz, southbound 1 at Highway 17. We have an accident reported there. CHP is on scene checking the details. In Hollister, Highway 152 at Fifield Road, we have a two-vehicle accident on the right-hand shoulder. And watch out in Prunedale, Highway 156 at Cathedral Oak Road, Puerto Vallarta. No parking sign, just sort of laying in the middle of the roadway, so vehicles are swerving to avoid that. And also an injury accident in San Martin, southbound 101 at San Martin Avenue. This report is brought to you by Sears. There are just 2 days to get 50% off summer clothing and sandals for the holiday weekend and much more. The two-day sale this Friday and Saturday at Sears. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 7106. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Diane. We'll check back with you in half an hour. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. right here. We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're talking about impeaching those guys. Talking about the impressive action taken by the Berkeley City Council last night. They unanimously passed a resolution to be the first jurisdiction in the United States to let the public vote for the impeachment of Bush and Cheney. And I want to clarify, because I can already hear my buddy Councilman Ed Porter from Santa Cruz calling to claim correctly that that council was one of the first in the country as a city council to pass such a resolution. And Arcata, I haven't forgotten about you. I know that the Arcata City Council was up front on this issue as well, and I believe it was at least a year ago, if not longer, that both Santa Cruz and Eureka passed those resolutions. And we're talking with two Berkeley residents, Abraham Neasley and Saba Sahuria. Abraham, are you aware that there's this interesting approach to impeachment? Many people thought that the only way to return a bill of impeachment was for the House of Representatives to do that, starting at the Judiciary Committee, then moving to the full House. But it was learned that in some of the documents that Thomas Jefferson wrote, that he outlined another way, which is for municipal and state governments to pass this type of resolution and refer it to the House Judiciary Committee. So tell me what your thoughts are just about how this process might work, and if it's approved by the voters in November, where does it go from there?
Well, the resolution is, first off, it makes reference to the state-based impeachment in Jefferson's Manual of Parliamentary Procedure. And we would then send, you know, the results of our referendum to both the California state legislature and to the United States Congress. So, you know, to express the will of the Berkeley voters.
And from there, you don't know exactly what they would do with it, right?
Well, you know, obviously, if some of the current leadership stays and we aren't able to persuade them, then they might very well set it aside. But the more people start to speak up on this, when a state starts to, you know, actually pass a resolution, when more and more cities start to, and when the people start to express themselves, I think that Congress will have to take action, whether they're Republican or Democrat, because they do swear an oath.
Now, Saba, did you have any momentary kind of political objections rise within you? Because while Berkeley is pretty solid for the Democrats and it won't make much difference there, if this spreads to other communities, you could see a situation where a referendum on impeachment would be drawing out Democratic voters this November, perhaps at the expense of Republicans. Did that enter into your thinking at all?
Well, if the Republican Party hopes to survive any impeachment action that might take place, then they'll have to learn to recognize that it is the will of the people, and it is being expressed very clearly by the people. And so if they wish to keep their jobs, then they're going to have to follow what the voters in the United States have said. And so I don't see this necessarily as detrimental to the Republican Party. They just need to recognize that the president is not invincible and that there are limits to his power and that these limits have been passed time and time again.
Well, and you're actually shaming them in this process into recognition that they have grossly failed the American people in their oversight responsibilities for this administration.
Well, that's a bit of a tougher question to answer. The necessary evidence to prove that they were lied to only came out after a number of votes had taken place. The information that the House of Representatives and the Senate was presented did make a very strong case for war with Iraq, did make a very strong case that wiretapping might be necessary. And it's only in light of this new evidence that's coming out that shows that these things should not have taken place to begin with. And this is a time for the Republicans to come together and correct those actions and show that they can be a strong party in the future.
All right. I'll take your point. I disagree a little bit because I think a lot of that information was available. And anyone with healthy skepticism wouldn't have bought in to the claims of the administration. After all, they were hysterically trying to claim a mushroom cloud, that Iraq might have a nuclear weapon, when it was clear to all observers that that was not the case. He certainly had the desire to obtain or develop one, but the idea that it was an imminent threat was, I think, dismissed. And John Kerry has recently gone public with his own sense that he made a mistaken vote, and that he was misled by that intelligence. Let's take another caller. Susan in Santa Cruz, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, hi, Peter. I just wanted to jump back to Walter Jones for a minute because I had the privilege, it was really a privilege, of having turned on my TV and seen this, it's not even a committee, this group of Democrats, senators, maybe some reps, I don't know, who were interviewing the guys, the top guys in the intelligence, from the intelligence community, and Colin Powell's aide and stuff like that, and you were his right-hand man.
Right.
And all of these folks were being absolutely honest about the whole mess up, the whole phony cooked war thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of this walks in Walter Jones. And I was so impressed by this guy. He just started out by apologizing to everybody for his own actions and the actions of his party. And he really appears to be probably one of the most sincere, I'm sorry, I don't mean to denigrate Republicans, but really of late, one of the most sincere Republicans I've ever seen. His letters are up to, I think, something like 8,000 now. And he looked genuinely baffled that there wasn't another Republican in the room.
Yeah.
And I think if you're interested in the impeachment route, he is a really good starting point in the Senate.
In the House.
To help this thing go along.
Okay, Susan, we're out of time here, but I want to thank you. A quick comment. Abraham, what's the next step here?
Well, I think the next step for us is to reach out to more students and to get more students, to take college activism off of campuses, to follow the model of really what worked, in previous generations of activism, and that is, not just staying on campus and preaching to the choir, but, actually taking definitive action to try and make sure our voices are more effectively heard.
And Saba, what will you do next?
Well, I'm going to continue working with Constitution Summer on this issue. I do believe that we need to work with college campus and make the campus's incubators for political action and to bring the idea of impeachment to mainstream America.
I want to thank you both for joining us, and I thank you for your advocacy, Abraham Neasley and Saba Sahuria in Berkeley, California. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by More Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's MOHR imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay Area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
Tom Hartman.
We have given our electoral process, the franchise by which democracy happens, the most vital part of the commons by which we administer the commons, we have privatized it. We have turned it over to private for-profit corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And they have no damn business telling us how we voted.
The new Radio Free America, Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Minutes past the hour, you're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. Originating on the Pacific coastline, where many salmon fishermen are taking this summer off. Congressman Sam Farr, the Democrat who represents Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz in the House of Representatives, joins us on the phone this afternoon. Sam Farr, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you, Peter. It's great to be back on the air. How are you?
I'm doing great today. It looks like you and your colleagues have been having a little fun, for a worthy cause, but kind of disrupting the action of the House today in order to make your point about the plight of salmon fishermen here in California and in Oregon.
Well, we're voting mostly on the appropriations bills, and today we had a bill called Justice State Commerce. So all of the issues of the Commerce Department, which include NOAA and the fisheries issues, and the Justice Department, which is all federal and local law enforcement, and as I said, the Commerce Department and the State Department for all the embassies around the world. So there's a lot of issues on the floor today.
Mm-hmm. And what is a motion to rise, and what does that do to the business of the House?
Well, the House adopts a rule before every debate, on the floor of how long the debate's going to occur, what amendments are in order, if any, and how long the debate on each amendment's going to be. And then you have the debate, and you call for a vote, or you withdraw the amendment, or so on. The only way you can get attention if you have they can rule the amendment out of order on a procedural issue, which is called legislating on appropriation bills. We're supposed to be appropriating money, not telling the federal government how to spend it, other than limiting the amount of money they can spend. And so they were going to throw out the whole issue on fisheries on a procedural issue. We would have gotten no time to discuss it, and so we just decided let's sort of blow up the place for a while, and just every time we can, we'll just kind of ask for a motion to rise, motion to adjourn, and we'll bring everybody back on the floor, and they'll all be complaining, why are we going through this? And eventually the Republican leadership says, what do we got to do to make a deal with these guys? And so they agreed to address the issue. I mean, they give us a lot of money. We put some placeholder money in the bill. The Senate will go through a markup of their bill, and Senator Feinstein, Boxer, and the senators from Oregon are very keen on trying to find some two things, salmon restoration money and bailout for the salmon fishermen who have been affected by the closure. Mm-hmm. This whole thing caused because the federal government just blew it by releasing a lot of water a few years ago to help the farmers and screwed the fishermen, killed all the fish, and then this year when the fisheries commissions just looked at the fishery stock, they just said there isn't enough stock coming out of the Klamath River, which is our largest salmon breeding zone, to really have a salmon season. And they gave them a very limited number of days to fish and a very few fish to catch. And the salmon fishing with the price of diesel fuel have just said it's not worth to fill your boat full of diesel, go out and try to catch fish and have so few to sell at the market. So most of them are just staying off out of the water.
Well, and it is a real hardship to those of us who love salmon and who avoid the farm-raised salmon.
Well, it's a very hardship on because they're small businesses. They got loans on their boats. They got loans on their houses. They've got the people that are supplying with ice and tackle. They've got loans. And suddenly, if the whole industry just shuts down, nobody's making any money. Nobody can afford to pay off their loans. People go bankrupt. So this is serious.
Mm-hmm. And so the proposal was $81 million in relief for fishermen and the hardship caused by the effective cancellation of the salmon season. What did you actually come up with?
Well, we got about a $5 million placeholder in both the Senate and the House, and they'll go into conference. We'll try to bring it back up. We also got a commitment that we're going to do work with the restoration. We've got a What's happened with the Klamath River is that the federal government owns a lot of land up in Oregon, and they allow farmers to lease that land for water-intensive crops to grow, essentially crops that don't have to be water-intensive. And so we, with the contracts let to those farmers, they release the water to them. It doesn't get into the basin. The water temperature goes up when there's a short rainfall, and that creates fish kill, plus parasites can live in those warm waters, and they kill the fish. So it's, you know, this is a really great example of why you have to work with nature and work in balance. You can't give the water to one and without an impact on another. We just see that in the Monterey Peninsula when, you know, you take water from the Salinas River at one end and it doesn't flow to the mouth, and therefore fish can't even get into the river. So it's all over California, and the federal government is the chief regulator in all this issue, and you got to get them in with a balanced opinion, and they haven't been doing that. So we have to take legislative prerogative and just sort of cram it down their throats.
That's very politely put. We're talking with Sam Farr, the congressman from the Central Coast, and we're talking about the skirmish on the House floor today over relief for salmon fishermen. Now, Sam, Governor Schwarzenegger and Oregon's Governor Ted Kulongoski have declared state disaster areas for the coastal fishing communities, but there's a significant resistance in Washington. Did you make any headway with your House colleagues on that issue today?
Well, most of your colleagues don't deal with it. It's not in their state, or this is sort of an Oregon, Washington, and California issue, and the rest of them couldn't give a damn. But, you know, we are some total of our parts, and so there'll be days when their states are affected by something, whether it was Hurricane Katrina or whatever, and we all try to get along and help one another. The problem here has been interesting, because when the federal government released that water, it was their action that caused this. So their lawyers tell them you can't declare a natural disaster on this. This wasn't done by nature. This was done by government. If they admit that they caused the disaster, then they're liable for all kinds of lawsuits. So they're just waiting and playing these games, saying, well, we don't know how much damage it's done to the fishermen yet because the season isn't over. Well, you can just talk to any commercial salmon fishermen on the Pacific Coast, and they'll tell you what's going on. They don't need to wait until next year for the federal government to decide whether they want to declare a disaster. They may not even be around next year. So it's complicated. And what we're trying to do is, first of all, clean up the Klamath so that some of the private dams are removed, that you get better water flows, that the water temperature stays high, that you get contracts on agriculture that don't allow them to take water that will jeopardize fish flows. And try to come up with a comprehensive management plan where there'll be a win-win for everybody rather than a win-lose.
Mm-hmm. Congressman Farr, I appreciate your work on this, and I just want to thank you because I care about salmon because I like to eat it, but I also care about the environment and the balance between farming interests and fishing interests, and clearly it's been out of balance the last few years. If I may, I wanted to just ask you to comment on a couple of other issues. Just before you joined us, we were talking with two individuals from the town of Berkeley, where they passed a resolution last night which is going to put an impeachment referendum measure on the ballot in Berkeley this fall. And in the course of that conversation, Susan from Santa Cruz called, and we were talking about Walter B. Jones, the Carolina Republican, who has been very strong in his conversion to opposing the war in Iraq. And I just wanted to get your comment on Congressman Jones and on the general movement, because the two people we talked to from Berkeley both turned out to be Republicans. And while impeachment is a long shot, and I think it's worthwhile as a campaign tool, I don't see it as something that will occur unless we do see Democratic House control regained. At the same time, we're seeing principled Republicans stand up and say, this administration is way off course, and I no longer support it.
Well, they don't move as far as to say they would support impeachment. You don't even get a discussion here until you get the Democrats in majority, and then you can have a discussion of whether there are indeed articles for impeachment. I think that, first of all, everybody sort of says, well, why do you want to impeach Bush? You'll get Cheney as the president.
Well, the Berkeley measure calls for impeaching both of them. Then
well,
we get Benny Hastert, right?
Yeah, but the politics here is the winner takes all, and you've got the Republican Party sitting in charge of both houses. They decide whether you're even going to be able to have a hearing, have a discussion on it. So far, there has been bills introduced and sent to the committee. They refuse to act on them. They don't. It's just a non-issue. They don't want to even discuss it. So it's never going to go anywhere. Remember, the reason that discussion happened with Clinton was that the Republicans were in control of both houses. And
right.
So they were out to get the president, and they had passed articles of impeachment in the House, and they passed it pretty much on a partisan vote. And it was, the Senate as a jury denied it. And
right.
But the American people spoke out. I don't think that the outcry is there from liberal communities, but it certainly isn't there across the country. And I think most people realize it isn't going to happen as long as the Republicans are in control of the House and Senate.
But isn't it a worthwhile goal to pursue as a reason to change control of the Congress?
Well, you had 30% voter turnout in California in the primary. You had a really good chance to win a seat in Southern California where a really hard-working school board member was running for Congress against a former member of Congress who turned to being a lobbyist, who had taken trips during key votes and so on. And, you know, the Republicans turned around and reelected him to Congress. So I think it's in the liberal communities. Yes, you hear that this is going to make a difference. So far, it hasn't showed making any difference at the polling place.
Well, I certainly understand that disappointment.
I mean, we need to get people to vote. We got to get them active. And, you know, even people who are liberals who say, well, I don't have anybody to follow. That's a hell of a cop-out. You know, if all you need is for evil to prevail is for enough good people to do nothing. And I think that my point is we got to invigorate active participation in government again. And you start with being involved with the voting and then following up with demanding that your elected officials pay attention to your issues. But copping out by not voting is the worst thing that can happen to anybody.
Yeah, I understand. Do you have any questions about the validity of the District 50 election?
No, I think that the candidate sort of blew it at the last point, but I think what I heard from people who live in the district, she made a political comment that they spent $1 million advertising last weekend of the election that hurt her. But remember, it was a solidly Republican district, and from the people who live there, they said that the Republicans, as disenfranchised as they were with the White House,
I understand,
and with the party, decided once in the poll that they were not going to abandon their party.
But there's a town hall meeting in Oceanside tonight that's convened by election integrity folks, and they're challenging the results because the voting machines, both the touchscreen machines and the tabulators for the optical scanning systems, were compromised because they were not kept secure during the period before the election began.
Well, if there's an issue there, that's the way they ought to handle it, because each county decides on what kind of voting machines they want to have in the county, and then those voting machines have to be approved by the Secretary of State. And, you know, that Secretary is our own Bruce McPherson. I think Bruce has been sincere about making sure that the voting machines are correct. So I think there's two issues there. One is, and first, at the county, and the second is with the state Secretary of State's office.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't quite share your confidence in Secretary McPherson. He's been relatively unforthcoming during this process of recertifying the electronic machines, despite the serious vulnerabilities that have been demonstrated.
Well, he's up for election, as we all are, and if he hasn't been the job, people have choices, as they do in every election in California. Again, it gets back to participating in the electoral process.
Indeed. Sam Farr, thanks for joining us today, and thanks again for your work on behalf of the fishermen.
Well, thank you, and I always appreciate your being up on these issues. You're very you're very well studied on them, and it's wonderful to have talk radio that you can actually get these points across.
Well, thank you very much, sir. We'll talk again soon. Sam Farr, Democrat from the Central Coast, checking in from Washington, D.C. Coming up next, we're going to talk to one of my favorite progressive radio talk show hosts. He's coming back to Monterey. Doug Basham, coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic now. We get the latest from Metro Diane.
Actually, not too bad of a commute so far. Just have one accident to tell you about. It's in Soledad. 146 is Stonewall Canyon Road. An SUV actually went off the roadway and down an embankment. So CHP en route to check that out. And Santa Cruz Mounds, both directions of Highway 17, check and install and accident-free. You are going to see the sort of normal slow-and-go brake lights southbound Highway 1 between Monterey and Carmel. Will is going to be slow eastbound 25 out of Gilroy and into Hollister. This report is brought to you by Toyota Avalon. The Toyota Avalon with an EPA estimated 31 miles per gallon on the highway and all the little extras you desire. Avalon, where luxury meets fuel efficiency. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. on the Stephanie Miller Show, right here, KRXA 540. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Sacramento's got it, and Monterey's getting it back, too. Talking about the Doug Basham Show. Joining us from Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Doug Basham. Hello, Doug.
Hey, Peter B., how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm so excited that you're coming back to Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, in that beautiful little town called Freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to say, Peter, it's an honor to be on your show. For those people who don't know, because I'm sure you're too modest to tell them, you are not only one of the best broadcasters on the radio today, you're also one of the genuine nice guys in the business. And that combination is just so refreshing and so admirable. Suffice to say, the pleasure is all mine.
Oh, well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate the kind words, and it's never gotten me indicted, so I'll just keep doing what I...
You must be doing something wrong.
Well, Doug, I want to tell a little story, because last year, just a little less than 52 weeks from now, I was sitting in the office at KRXA in Monterey, and you called me up. And you said, hey, what are you guys doing at night? And I said, well, frankly, I haven't figured that out yet.
Right.
And you said, well, I've got a show, and here's my website. Why don't you check it out? And sure enough, I went online. I listened to 20 minutes of one show and about 15 minutes of another, and I said, wow, this guy's hot. So we plugged you in the nighttime on KRXA, and then last January, I got a call from Paula Nelson, who runs 1240 Talk City, that's KSAC in Sacramento.
Right.
And she said, I need something for late at night. And I said, well, you need Doug Basham. So then,
See what I mean, Peter? You're just such a nice guy.
All right, so then they plugged you in Sacramento, and then you had to pull your show off the air to retool and regroup financially, and that created an opportunity. And so now my show is on late at night on 1240 Talk City in Sacramento, and it's all your fault.
Well, I'll take all the credit or the blame, however you wish to depict it.
And now you're back, and you're going to be on from 7 to 10 p.m. People in Sacramento already know this. You've been on there for, what, about a month now?
Uh-huh.
And so starting Monday, KRXA 540 in Monterey is going to be carrying the Doug Basham Show once again.
Absolutely. And we're looking forward to, just to give you kind of a recap of what happened, you're right, we did put the show up on the Jones satellite last year, and we had a syndicator, and the idea was, of course, to get the show on as many stations across the country as possible. The problem ended up being my syndicator, he was kind of a reverse George W. Bush, whereas Bush doesn't have an exit strategy,
mm-hmm.
My original syndicator didn't have an entrance strategy. So we just kind of languished in obscurity for a while, and it just became no longer financially feasible to keep doing it when nothing was happening. So you're right, we took some time off, we kept broadcasting locally, but now we're back up on the Jones satellite. We have a new syndicator, which, nice guy that you are, helped me find. And, you know, we're really hopeful that things will happen. But as you know, Peter, in George W. Bush's America, the marketing and selling of progressive talk radio, in particular aggressive progressive talk radio, it's a challenge.
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, we are still at a significant disadvantage. A year ago, there was a study that showed that every day or every week, there's 42,000 hours of conservative talk radio broadcast on all the stations coast to coast,
mm-hmm.
and only 3,100 hours of progressive talk. That's a 14-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
And so just on a business basis, you and I face significant challenges in trying to persuade these program directors that, hey, we've got a hot show and you ought to pick it up.
Oh, and sometimes it's not even the program directors. I'll tell you a quick story. I had, there was a program director who called my syndicator asking for the show. And, I mean, this is like a gift to the syndicator, you know, so he was just absolutely thrilled. And the way the thing ended up coming down, the program director went to the owner, who was of a different political persuasion than the program director, and he said, are you kidding? I hate that show. I wouldn't carry that show if it paid me. I'm thinking, what a great resume, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But
well, it is interesting, though.
Where somebody wanted it, but the ownership said, uh-uh.
Yeah. Well, we're going to run into that time and again, but it's also interesting and a little counterintuitive to many people. If you learn that one of the biggest group owners of radio stations that offers progressive talk is a company called Clear Channel.
Yeah, although I kind of question the way they're doing it. I mean, from what I hear, a lot of the airtime they give to progressive talk radio is kind of on the smaller stations that were kind of languishing around doing not too much of anything.
That's true in some places, but also in Cincinnati, it's on a 50,000-watt AM that I used to listen to growing up. In Miami, it's on a 50,000-watt station. But you also have a point, because, Doug, in San Diego, they named their progressive talk station KLSD. And in San Francisco, it's called The Quake. So one is named after a natural disaster, the other an illegal psychotropic drug.
Yeah.
And you kind of wonder if that wasn't some underhanded meaning delivered by Clear Channel.
I wouldn't be surprised, Peter B. I wouldn't be surprised. And the other thing I'm afraid of is that, you know, and I hate to sound conspiratorial, but they do have the right to pull the plug at any time they want.
Yeah, it's true.
You
it's
know,
true.
And I'm not saying that that's their original intent, but, you know, one never knows.
Mm-hmm. Well, Doug Basham, what I value in your work is that you do a show that is excellently produced. I love the music that you use to produce it and, you know, add to the sound. You do great interviews. And it's very clear to me that you do a lot of homework. And what I love about you is when you argue, you're very persuasive and well-informed, but I've never heard you be shrill or whiny. I find that you come across from a position of strength and a knowledge of your own facts, and you present them in a very powerful way.
Well, and you know, I really can't take any credit for that, Peter B., because I honestly believe in my heart of hearts that progressives are right on the issue. So when I argue, it's coming from a deep-seated belief that I'm right and the movement is right and the cause is right. Therefore, it's hard to be... You know, you don't necessarily have to be shrill or whiny when you have the facts and the truth on your side.
Yeah.
But I'm not, you know, I'm not beneath yelling. I love to yell and I love to fight. So, I mean, I have one token right winger that calls me here in Vegas, and sometimes I just have fun with him, and other times I just blow a stack and we yell at each other. But he always calls back. And the funny thing is, he always listens.
Mm-hmm. Well, I enjoy that too. I much prefer to persuade a conservative than to just have a liberal or progressive agree with me.
Oh,
Doug,
exactly.
We're almost out of time here. Just one other thing I needed to check on. How's your hair?
Oh, are you kidding? I got a cut. I'm almost at the respectable status now, Peter B.
No kidding. You're mullet-free?
Yeah. Well, I never really had a mullet. It just kind of looked like that in the picture.
Uh-huh.
The way I had it brushed back at the sides that day gave it that mullet appearance.
Uh-huh.
But now we've gotten it shortened. It's just a little bit above the collar. Actually, quite presentable.
All right. Go to DougBasham.com. Check out the latest photos and tune in Monday night for the debut, the return of Doug Basham on KRXA 540 in Monterey. It's already happened in Sacramento. Thanks, Doug.
Thank you, Peter. Looking forward to it.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. With the Delaware River rising, Peggy Smith worries about her neighbors in New Hope, Pennsylvania.
There's a lot of people I know that live along the canals and the river, and I really say some prayers for them.
Flooding after days of heavy rain has claimed at least 12 lives across the Northeast, and CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts reports one Pennsylvania community is very nervous this evening.
Here in Wilkes-Barre on the Susquehanna, the water is flowing at a rate of 1.7 million gallons per second.
What concerns you all at this point?
Well, the flooding, as it did in 72, it went right over my roof.
89-year-old Joe Solomon remembers Wilkes-Barre's last major flood after Hurricane Agnes in 1972, when parts of the town were washed away. That's what prompted the state and federal government to build this 7-mile levee system, a $175 million investment that will be tested.
Officials expect the levees to hold, but as a precaution, they've ordered 200,000 people to evacuate. The latest in the Middle East, witnesses report a huge explosion in Gaza City when Israeli aircraft fired a missile at the Islamic University. And while the search for a captured Israeli soldier continues, CBS News correspondent Sheila McVicker reports the military operation has expanded.
Israeli forces are in the West Bank searching for one and possibly two more Israelis who have been taken captive. Israelis also saying they plan to move more of their forces into Gaza. And just as it heats up here, well, this crisis is threatening to go regional. Israeli F-16s buzzed the house of Syrian President Assad today while he was at home. And that's a pretty direct message for the man the Israelis say is the sponsor of the Hamas militants.
The first ever court-martial of a cadet at the Coast Guard Academy has been finalized. WTIC Radio's Chris Francis reports from New London, Connecticut.
A day after convicting Cadet Webster Smith of sexual assault and extortion related to the allegations of one of his four accusers, the jury recommended a sentence of 6 months confinement, dismissal from the academy, and forfeiture of military pay and allowances. Smith had faced a maximum imprisonment of 5.5 years.
Smith was acquitted of rape, the most serious charge against him. From Detroit, WWJ Radio's Ron Dewey reports Americans will soon be able to buy the two-seat smart car.
Daimler Chrysler CEO Dieter Zetsche says the time and market are right for a car that takes up only half a parking space.
Urban streets are becoming increasingly congested. Gas prices are now hovering around $3 a gallon.
An increasing number of Americans, especially young adults, are looking for ways to lessen the impact their daily lives make on the environment.
At 40 miles to the gallon, with a sticker under 15 grand, the U.S. version of the Smart will hit showrooms in early 2008. Ron Dewey, CBS News, Detroit.
The Dow regained 48 points today, closing at 10,973. The NASDAQ up 11 points. This is CBS News.
July 4th is a wonderful day to relax.
Yeah, you get the drop cloth, I'll start taping.
Well, that's another way of looking at it. It's the July 4th sale at Sherwin-Williams. This Thursday through Monday, save 25% on a high-quality paints and stains, 15% on Duration Premium Coatings, and an extra 25% on Easy Change Wallpaper. Hurry, sale ends Monday. Ask how. Ask now.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full-service car care, bumper to bumper. From diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. All backed with a national guarantee of satisfaction. And right now, it's our biggest Michelin tire sale of the year, with Michelin tires at the lowest prices of the season. You're going places this summer. Make sure your car is going to the place that protects it best. Sears Auto Centers. See store for guarantee details. Exclusions apply. See LN7806.
In New York this morning, the FBI says it broke up two movie piracy rings, stealing millions of dollars a year from Hollywood.
The fact is, this is one of the largest of raids that the FBI and the Justice Department have ever conducted on camcorded movies.
Industry spokesman Dan Glickman says pirates bring camcorders into theaters, then distribute digital copies on Internet file-sharing networks. Authorities say the rings were all geared up to copy Superman Returns. Bill Hargrove says it's just too bad there's no one else in his age group still bowling. The Cleveland, Georgia man has been certified as the oldest living bowler. He's 105 years old. Hargrove started bowling 80 years ago, and after all that time, placing the ball is almost automatic, which is a good thing because his eyesight is so bad he can't see the pins. A spotter has to tell him which ones are still standing. Hargrove bowls in two senior leagues, one of them named after him. Despite his age, he has a respectable 106 average. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Did you know that during baseball season, Americans eat enough hot dogs to stretch from Yankee Stadium in New York to Dodger Stadium in L.A.? Or that the 2 billion gallons of ice cream Americans eat each year would fill 7 Empire State Buildings? Did you know condiments were invented to cover up bad-tasting food? Take a bite of the food that built America. Americans Eat, Thursday nights at 10, 9 Central, only on the History Channel.
Six minutes past the hour, this is the Peter B. Collins Show as we launch another free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. Lines are open right now.
Guess who just got back today? That wild-eyed voice that had been away. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are great. They were asking if you were around. Where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town. Boys are back in town.
I'm your humble host, Peter B., and my lines are wide open for your phone calls, and I have a little bit of a difficulty this hour because KGOE in Eureka is committed to bring you Crabs Baseball in just a few minutes. And that means that you won't be able to hear us on the radio on KGOE for the rest of this hour. You can switch over to our live web stream at krxa540.com. But before we switch to baseball in Eureka, I want to give out our phone numbers and encourage all our favorite folks from Eureka to give us a call and talk about what's on your mind. You know the number. It's toll-free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And I want you Eureka listeners to get on the line early here because, of course, when you are on hold, you can hear the program over the phone, too. So even if you're out there in your car, if you dial in now, you can hear the show on hold. You can hear what other people have to say. And then, of course, we'll get to your call as quickly as possible. So, Eureka, I need your help today. You got to get on the line right now at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Earlier today, we talked about the bill that has been shot down in Sacramento, carried by Eureka Assemblywoman Patty Berg, AB 651, which is the compassionate choice, or the opponents call it assisted suicide. And it was defeated in a Senate committee yesterday when State Senator Joe Dunn of Santa Ana, a Democrat, voted against it. We also talked about the situation in Israel and Palestine with Israel once again launching a military incursion in the Gaza Strip. And we talked about the landmark legislation produced in Berkeley just last night, where the citizens there will get to vote for impeachment coming up this November on the local ballot. So all those subjects up for grab, including salmon fishing on the West Coast. We talked to Congressman Farr about that last hour. And I want you to call at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And the rest of you listeners on KGOE can enjoy the Crabs baseball game. To my KGO listeners, KGOE listeners, sorry, I will be on tomorrow for Tom Hartman, 9 to noon, and back at you in the afternoon at our regular time. So catch me once or catch me twice tomorrow. Enjoy the ball game now. All right, that takes care of that piece of business, and we'll be talking to our Eureka listeners again tomorrow. If you're calling on the Central Coast, there's a line available for you, too. That number is 831-899-5792, 831-899-KRXA. Puts you through to the free speech zone here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Interesting item posted on truthout.org today, written by Larry C. Johnson. And it's interesting to note, he's not the Larry Johnson, my pal, who's a radio consultant in Monterey. This guy is CEO and co-founder of Berg Associates, an international business consulting firm. Johnson previously worked with the CIA and the State Department's Office of Counterterrorism, where he rose to deputy director, and he's a recognized expert in the fields of terrorism, aviation security, crisis, and risk management. Okay? So that's who this guy is, Larry C. Johnson. And he started off his article with a term that we can no longer use on radio because we might get a $350,000 fine. Well, we'll sanitize it for you. His first sentence is, BS alert. After watching George Bush and Dick Cheney weep and wail over the damage done by the New York Times for reporting that financial data is being dumped into the CIA as part of an effort to find terrorist networks, I kept waiting for Daryl Hannah to pop up and say, live from New York, it's Saturday night. Does George have Alzheimer's disease? Has he forgotten that he used to love the New York Times? The only thing funnier is that most of the mainstream media is reporting the antics of these clowns as straight-up news. Well, the point that Mr. Johnson makes in this article is that this administration routinely and repeatedly used the New York Times to leak information that it wanted to see in the press in this country. You remember Judy Miller, the woman who claims she went to jail for 85 days to protect our rights and her rights as a journalist. Well, she, of course, responded to White House efforts to publish certain items. August 2, 2004, about an Al-Qaeda informant. September 8, 2002, Judith Miller reporting that Saddam Hussein was trying to buy thousands of specially designed aluminum tubes. That was a direct plant from the administration, and Judy Miller facilitated its insertion, its leak, into the New York Times. And Mr. Johnson here goes on to cite the October 2002 national intelligence estimates that Vice President Cheney instructed his chief of staff, Scooter Libby, to leak to the press, including Judy Miller. And she obliged. According to NPR's David Green, former Vice Presidential aide Louis Libby, indicted for leaking a CIA agent's identity, has testified that any classified information he may have leaked to a reporter was authorized by President Bush through the vice president. The claim is included in court documents. Libby told a grand jury the classified information he may have leaked to a New York Times reporter was authorized for use by President Bush, acting through Vice President Cheney. So what Mr. Johnson here is pointing out in this commentary is that the president only complains about leaks when he didn't authorize or initiate them. His final line here, President Bush crying about leaks to the New York Times is like listening to former Hollywood madam Heidi Fleiss complain about sexual promiscuity. Sorry, George, we ain't buying your song and dance. That is very well put, very well put. Lines available if you'd like to join us here in the Free Speech Zone. The number's 888-579-2540, or on the Central Coast, it's 831-899-5792. That's 831-899-5792. Now, there's something here in my email that I wanted to pull out and mention to you. Yesterday on the program, we talked about the house parties that were underway across the country to promote clean money campaign finance reform and to encourage people to view the new movie about Tom DeLay's Money Machine. And it's interesting because in today's email, I got an invitation to a Republican house party that was held last night, too. It started at 6:30 p.m. It was in my home, my front or backyard, my neighborhood, or at the park, at a community center, or any place where Californians can come together to celebrate Governor Schwarzenegger's birthday with him. Now, I think it's interesting that they got me this invitation to the house party, about 14 hours after it was over. And I missed the party. It would have given me a chance to learn about the governor's accomplishments, an opportunity to share his vision, and a chance to join his team. I am so disappointed that they didn't get this to me in time. Oh, gosh. I wonder if it was a mistake. Or maybe they know who's on their email lists. I'm not sure. One other item I want to mention. Code Pink. Code Pink for Peace. We talked to co-founder Medea Benjamin a week or two ago about the setback they had at the Take Back America conference in Washington when they hoped to welcome Hillary Rodham Clinton to the event with some banners. And the organizers they lied to them. They pretended that, Hillary was going to come in at one entrance and she came in at another. They told the Code Pink people that they'd be able to ask her a question. None of that proved to be true. Well, this is unrelated, only to reference Code Pink. But they have launched a new effort that is going to be announced today and will begin on July 4th in front of the White House at 10 a.m. So today at 5 o'clock Eastern, they held an event outside the White House where they sat down and a group of individuals ate what is going to be their last meal for a while. Because Code Pink, with support of Dick Gregory, Susan Sarandon, Sean Penn, one of my favorite singers, Michael Franti of Spearhead, Cindy Sheehan, who else haven't I mentioned here? Oh, Diane Wilson, the woman who stopped the environmental attacks in the Gulf off of Houston. And quite a few others, Dolores Huerta of the United Farm Workers. They're all going to be on a rotating fast that starts, this is a protest, of course, in the war of the war in Iraq, and it starts on July 4th at 10 o'clock in front of the White House. So it's going to be very interesting, and I hope that it will attract the media attention that Cindy Sheehan was pretty good at generating in Crawford. And it'll be interesting to see how it resonates with people. I'm glad to see the way Code Pink is doing this and the quality of the people they've attracted to help them. So it'll be very interesting to see how the media covers this. We're going to take a break and return. I'm waiting for your phone calls. Don't hold back. Lines are open right now. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Elsewhere, if you're listening online, call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
521 now, we check traffic with Metro Diane.
Actually, Santa Cruz, Monterey, Salinas, we have no new stalled or accidents to report. There's a grass fire in Gonzales, so it's northbound 101 at 5th Street. Grass fire burning near the roadway, so fire department is en route to that. It may be causing a bit of a visual hazard. Santa Cruz Mounds, Highway 17, both directions through Santa Cruz Mounds, checking in, solid accident free. In Salinas, Davis Road between Westridge Parkway and Auto Center Circle, there's some maintenance work going on in the areas. So the southbound lanes are closed with traffic detour to one northbound lane. So expect delays throughout the area there. This report is brought to you by Sears Auto Center. You trust your car to take you places this summer. So who do you trust to take care of your car? Sears Auto Center offers full-service bumper-to-bumper car care, so take your car to the place that protects it best, Sears Auto Center. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Diane. Coming up right after 6 o'clock, Culture Shocks and Barry Lynn. Yeah! Yeah! 22 minutes past the hour, you're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. We've been getting calls from Arizona the last few days, so if you're in Tempe, Caroline, you're welcome to call in today. Let us know what's on your mind. 831-899-5792, or we pay for the call on 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Paula in Marina, thanks for your call. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hello,
hey,
Paula.
Hey, I've got a couple of rants tonight that I wanted to put out there, and one is... When I was growing up, you know, there used to be an expression that meant that there was hard, real work being done, or it would take real hard work to get something done. And the expression was, hey, I'd take an act of Congress, okay? And now our Congress is working on ridiculous things such as amendments to the Constitution about flag burning. I mean, the leaders, when are they going to work on something that really matters and is going to make a difference in our lives? What they're doing is they're taking up issues such as gay marriage and flag burning as a distraction to the real issues that are out there that they really need to be working on. So that's my rant. And the other
okay,
thing
well,
is...
Okay, well, hold on just a second, because I'm going to defend
sure.
Those fine people in Washington. They are really focused on the most important issue in their minds, which is their reelections this fall.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. It's
that's what all the pandering
thing.
Is about. It's all driven by their market research. And
exactly.
if you don't know who Frank Luntz is, he's the market research guy, their guru, who does all these focus groups, and he tests phrases like cut and run to see who responds to them. And clearly he's found out that the Republican base responds to that, and that's why they're using it so much. So these are all issues that are intended to win support with base voters for Republicans this fall. That's all they're up to.
Right. Well, and it's putting an emotional ring in the nose of the American public and leading them around by it, basically, is what it is. There are people, I don't think, that are necessarily in the Republican base that still react to this. But I'm glad you brought up the thing about their market research, because the other rant that I have is it's their research. And you remember, you know who George Lakoff is and the research that they've done on linguistics. I don't know whether you've noticed it or not, but for at least the last 2 years, they've been working up to using the word forward all the time. It's moving forward, together forward, operation together forward. You know, Schwarzenegger's campaign against Phil Angelides is he's moving backwards. Mm-hmm. And so people need to be aware of this. Anytime they hear it, a red flag ought to go up and know that they are being manipulated by the right-wing nuts again. So those are my two rants tonight.
Well, you also mentioned George Lakoff. Yesterday we had one of his associates, Sam Ferguson, on the show to talk about a new article that Lakoff co-authored with Sam and one other member of the Rock Ridge Institute. And it's fascinating stuff. I think they're doing great work. They're cautioning Democrats not to try to describe the Bush administration as incompetent, because that term doesn't resonate with the voters who we need to persuade to abandon the Republicans and vote for some Democrats. And so we spent a half hour talking about that yesterday. And if you haven't seen it yet, go to rockridgeinstitute.org, because I think they do a very good job of explaining the issue, which is
Excellent.
Not to say that Bush has been successful in our minds, but that he is hardly incompetent from the point of view of conservatives who want to bankrupt the government to prevent social programs from being funded in the future, who want to saddle future generations with a huge deficit because they're going to benefit in the meantime. And so that's the work that we have cut out for us. And I do think that Lakoff has made some good contributions to trying to move progressives in a more productive and winning direction.
Yeah, I think his work is fabulous. After the last disastrous national election, I started looking at the things that were on his website. And I mean, and he's right. We have to be very smart about how we choose our words and how we describe things. And you know, they've been an expert at it for a long time. One of his examples in the past was how they coined the phrase tax relief, and they combine something that gets an immediate, you know, gripping from people, this tax, oh, that's terrible, with relief, you know. So they become the providers of this, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, when I actually have to work in a tax section. So one of the things that I talk about is to people when they talk about taxes, tax relief, is I call them investments, you know. And where do you want to place, where do you want to invest? Where, you know, or if there's an investment you want to withdraw, what service would you like to do without?
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, that's the kind of thing. But I just, you know, I've heard this phrase over and over again, moving forward, or, you know, Bush's new together forward, and now Schwarzenegger's campaign about Phil Angelides backwards. So this is something that they are going to be pushing over and over again. And anytime we hear this, it should raise a red flag for people, and they should recognize what it is they're hearing is something that is intended to do nothing more than completely manipulate them. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Paula, I've got one word for you.
Yes?
You are discerning.
I'm on a rant tonight.
Thanks a lot. Good to hear
okay.
from you. Here's an email, and who did it come from? Tom. I don't understand why any patriotic American, especially Democratic senators, would vote for a constitutional amendment to, quote, protect the U.S. flag. I speak as a moderate. I've been a business owner, believe in the Second Amendment, passionately support the First Amendment. The politicians obviously don't understand the reasons protesters burn flags. I've burned flags. I've burned flags that have been damaged, and I've burned flags as a protest against an administration's policies. Burning a flag is a protest. It's saying to the powers that be, you have soiled the symbol of the country I love by your actions. We are burning this flag to cleanse it and restore honor to our country. Well, Tom, I appreciate your point. And he says, by voting for this amendment, which thankfully failed, these congresspeople have joined the ranks of non-thinking mobs screaming, my country, right or wrong. Thanks for that note, Tom. More of your calls coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
Media shapes our children's values, desires, and knowledge of the world. I'm Nurse Rona. Join my guests from ShapingYouth.com and Common Sense Media as they discuss the ways children's bodies and minds are affected by the messages they get from the media in our society.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540. We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes past the hour. I've got lines open for you on the Central Coast at 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA, named after our flagship station. You can also call me toll-free if you're listening online at 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And a note to our listeners on the Central Coast, this is your ideal time to call the Free Speech Zone because our KGOE listeners in Eureka are diverted to a baseball game this hour. And we would welcome your calls here from the Central Coast. And if you're listening online, don't be shy. Pick up the phone and give us a call. I'm going to mention the number one more time, 899-5792 in the 831 area code, or toll-free 888-579-2540. John in Carmel Valley, thanks for holding. You're next.
Peter, it was so dismaying today to hear more news about the Israeli response to their one held soldier. Israel's policy regarding the Palestinians has been a colossal failure for just about the entire time that Israel has been a state. And I am still a supporter of Israel as a state. I think that anti-Semitism is about the longest running piece of insanity in humanity's history. Mm-hmm. But I am 100% against the way they handle terrorists, or even the threat of a terrorist. It's draconian. It's worse than that. In fact, I don't have words to describe how foolish it is. I'll bet you right now, three-quarters of the Israeli population, even some of the most conservative people, know full well that there will be more terrorist incidents because of their overreaction to what's going on in Gaza and the bombing of that power plant. I mean, what could be more insane than that? To deprive the whole population there of electricity. Think how we would react if all of Monterey Bay Area, the Duke plant or the Moss Landing power plant was knocked out and we were just perpetually just deprived of electricity, because without that plant they probably won't have any electricity for months, maybe even years into the future.
Yeah. Well, a couple of points. First of all, I appreciate what you said, and I am the kind of person who doesn't assume that because you oppose the policies of the government of Israel that makes you somehow anti-Semitic.
Yeah, but it's a frequent criticism. I mentioned that because
it is used by the hardliners in Israel to try to shut up the people who raise legitimate questions about the way our government has supported the draconian measures of the Israeli government.
It's so consistent. Even the most liberal, and they haven't had that many really liberal, if any really liberal prime ministers, it's just been the established policy from almost 1948 on, and it's the last model we should have used for deciding how we would respond to 9/11. And I want to make one more point about that. I was convinced absolutely convinced, and nothing has changed my mind since 9/11, that the real cause, the real incident that keeps sparking terrorism beyond anything else is this eternal hemorrhage, this impossible unhealed wound that is the conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis, and that any sane government we had should have made that priority number one, which of course the Bush administration had completely ignored the Intifada, which was something our populace knew next to nothing about. I got very informed about it by listening. I used to listen for 8 hours straight while I was working in Pebble Beach as a gardener. I listened on that little RLS station that carries the BBC around the clock, and the BBC really informed me about not only the Intifada and how serious that was, but about the entire plight of the Palestinians, which the average person in this country knows next to nothing about.
And it's sad because, you know, I believe that the U.S. should be an honest broker and that we should not tilt in favor of Israel to the extent that we have. And I understand the history that, you know, we were one of the only allies in the world for Israel for many years, and that they have had a very difficult time with their neighbors in that region of the world. And so I really believe, and maybe I'm somewhat deluded, but I believe that I do have a balanced approach and that I recognize Israel's right to exist, the historic need for a homeland for the Jews of the world, and also simply a sense of trying to redress the losses to Jews of the world caused by Hitler and other lesser atrocities that have occurred over the years.
Let me put a question to you. If
okay,
you were
let,
present,
let me just finish.
Okay,
because you know, as the conflict has continued, and as the Palestinians have become more and more powerless and caged in by Israel, my sympathies have shifted somewhat to the Palestinians, because while I would never condone suicide bombing as a tactic, or suicide bombing of civilians in particular, I do understand the desperation that they feel, and that they have nothing to lose at this point. And with Israel knocking out bridges, taking out the power plant as you described, and taking additional measures to isolate and suffocate the Palestinian people, they once again are cornered in a manner that gives them few choices and leads to very desperate moves. And Israel, for whatever reason, cannot comprehend that and continues to box them in and squeeze them, when I think if you balance the boxing and the squeezing with a little, you know, fresh air and some flexibility, you could hopefully see a path develop for Palestinians to begin to control the extremists who commit the suicide bombings and begin to approach some kind of normalization of relations with Israel.
One enlightened Israeli I read of recently described Israel's mentality as Sparta-like, and I would say the same is true of us right now. We are a Sparta today in so many ways. But I want to ask you this final question. If you were president right now and you had real courage and decided to do what you thought was really best as it regarded our relations with Israel, what kind of pressure could you conceive of putting on Israel to stop this policy? Because as long as we go along with it, there's almost no direct negative inclination on the part of the anything that might keep the Israelis from continuing this policy. What would you do?
Well, first of all, I will acknowledge that it's complex and that you have to be very careful about moves that you make and look for the ripple effect, look for the unintended consequences. The leverage we have on Israel is the $1.5 billion in foreign aid that is a gift to that nation from the United States every year. It's essentially delivered with no strings attached. We are their primary supplier of military hardware and equipment, and we also tend to align with them at the United Nations, even when their position is untenable. And so I think that if we step back and we tell Israel that we are reviewing both our military sales and our aid policy to them, and that we're also reviewing their status with the United Nations, and that we want them to come into compliance with the various UN resolutions over the years that they have sidestepped or just defied. And I think that if we did that, it would send a clear message to the other nations in the Middle East that we are reviewing and revising our position with a goal of trying to create balance, trying to be an honest broker to bring these parties together. And I also think that Bush has sounded a theme that we support liberation, freedom, and democracy. And it's not democracy when the Palestinians choose to elect the Hamas leaders and replace the corrupt Fatah leaders, and then we say, oh, you made the wrong choice. And
the Europeans went along with us on that, too.
Yes. We also send signals that I believe are misguided when we tell the world that we couldn't deal with Yasser Arafat because he's irrelevant. But then when they promote Abu Mazen, Mr. Abbas, to the presidency, we announce to the world that we can deal with him. Well, just in saying that, we undermine his ability to represent his own people and try to build unity in the Palestinian camps. And so I think there are a lot of things that we can do to attenuate our policies without abandoning our historic support of Israel, but modulate it to the point where people do see that we have made a change and that we are not simply, behind Israel 1,000% right or wrong.
Let's hope something more hopeful and enlightened comes along, but it doesn't look like it. If anything, it'll probably get worse, but we can always hope.
Well, I appreciate your thoughtful call, and it's nice we had time to air this out a little bit. All right, thanks for that. That leaves the line open, and you can join me. You can talk about Israel or anything else that's in the news or on your mind. 831-899-5792 or toll free at 888-579-2540. Tomorrow, I'll be sitting in on the Tom Hartman Show again. And in our first hour, we're going to talk with the publisher of The Nation, Katrina Vandenhoevel, about the nation state, the foldout that they did in the current issue about the consolidated corporate media in this country and what it means to us. That's coming up tomorrow, and I hope you'll tune in. By the way, that hour will be heard at 10 p.m. Tomorrow night on KRXA 540 in Monterey, if you can keep all that straight. We'll continue in just a moment, 15 minutes before the hour, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
That I really believe that pagan and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped this happen.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at high levels of our government. And so
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people.
I've got a good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Where go?
show.
Tom Hartman.
We have given our electoral process, the franchise by which democracy happens, the most vital part of the commons by which we administer the commons, we have privatized it. We have turned it over to private for-profit corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And they have no damn business telling us how we voted.
The new Radio Free America, Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
KRXA 540 takes one more look at traffic on the ride home at Metro. Here's Diane.
Well, we have one accident to tell you about. It's in Monterey, Highway 68 at York Road. Three vehicles involved in this. They all have been moved out of the roadway onto the right-hand shoulder. Checking Highway 17, both directions through the Santa Cruz Mountains, stall and accident-free. You're going to see some slow traffic southbound Highway 1 between Monterey and Carmel, as well as brake lights eastbound 25 out of Gilroy into Hollister. We also have some road work in Salinas Davis Road between Westridge Parkway and Auto Center Circle. Maintenance work going on, so the southbound lanes are closed with traffic detoured to the northbound lanes. Expect delays to the area there. This report is brought to you by Toyota Avalon. The Toyota Avalon with an EPA estimated 31 miles per gallon on the highway and all the little extras you desire. Avalon, where luxury meets fuel efficiency. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Diane. Coming up right after 6 o'clock, Barry Lynn and Culture Shocks on KRXA.
Warm winds blowing, heat and blue skies.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
And a road that goes forever.
What do you say we take a little trip back in time to the Lone Star State, Texas?
Thinking about it lately. Been watching some TV, been looking all around me, and what has come to be. Been talking to my neighbor, and he agrees with me. It's all gone crazy. Someone's gonna get killed out there, and I turn to her and say, I said, Texas. She said,
what?
They got big long roads out there.
And people who talk a little funny. Yeah, it's very interesting. The thing's been going around on the web, which compares the vocal patterns of George W. Bush when he was governor of Texas to some of the vocal patterns that he uses now as President of the United States. And linguists and people who study these things analyze it and say that George W. Bush's verbal skills have dropped dramatically. And for people who think he's never had any, I'm sure that comes as a bit of a surprise. But let's listen to this package, which compares some of the earlier speeches and news recordings of Governor Bush with the current President of the United States. Let's listen.
You may find this surprising, but 10 years ago, George Bush was a good debater. Listen for yourself. He doesn't pause or stumble over big words or complicated sentences.
To answer your question, what Texas ought to do is determine what the mission is in the state perspective. I think that the mission in education ought to be excellence in literature, math, science, and social science. If school districts want to enrich beyond that, more power to them. But at the state perspective, we ought to hone in on four subject matters and see if we can do it right. We ought to determine the cost per pupil necessary to achieve excellence in the classroom, and we ought to fund it. The funding priority of the state of Texas ought to be the school children of our state, and it has not been under the past 4 years. The state share of education has decreased to 44%. That is why we have property taxes on the rise in nearly every single school district in the state of Texas. Define the mission, determine the cost per pupil necessary to achieve the goal, and elect a governor who's willing to say that the number one funding priority of our state will be the school children of Texas.
That was George Bush in a debate, without notes, 10 years ago. Compare that to this more recent example.
Actually, we've increased funding for dealing with nuclear proliferation about 35% since I've been the president.
Secondly, we've set up what's called the... Well, first of all, I agree with my opponent that the biggest threat facing this country is weapons of mass destruction in the hands of a terrorist network. And that's why we've put proliferation as one of the centerpieces of a multi-pronged strategy to make the country safer.
It's been gradual, but it's easy to see that there has been a striking decline in his sentence-by-sentence speaking skills. How big a change? Listen again to George Bush from 10 years ago.
Have my juvenile justice plan in a minute and a half is a hard task. I will try to do so. The core of crime in Texas is the juvenile justice problem. I think we ought to try 14-year-olders as adults, down to 14-years-old as adults, to help our gang task force members fight crime. I know we need to expand the determinant sentencing statutes in the state of Texas. We need to have boot camps, reform schools, and detention centers. We should expand the Texas Youth Commission by 1,500 beds. We ought to unseal juvenile records so that teachers, educators, and law enforcement officials know full well who they're dealing with. We need to say to our children, we love you. But we understand in Texas that discipline and love go hand in hand.
Now George Bush jokes about it.
She speaks English a lot better than I do. I think people understand what she's saying.
But it's not funny. Compared to 10 years ago, something is wrong with George Bush.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful. And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
Here's what one doctor thinks. Slowly developing cognitive deficits, as demonstrated so clearly by the president, can represent only one diagnosis, and that is presenile dementia. Dr. Joseph M. Price, The Atlantic Monthly, October 2004. Whatever the reason, whatever the diagnosis, even when he's rehearsed and prepared, George Bush has problems that he did not have 10 years ago. And so do we.
Too many good docs are getting out of business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
Just what we need. One more thing to worry about.
Well, that's a very interesting comparative look at the speech patterns of George W. Bush over time. He clearly has deteriorated, and I don't know who that announcer is on that package, but as he points out, we're the ones who are going to pay the price. Remember this from April of 2004? One of the primetime news conferences, and I think it was David Gregory from NBC, asked him if he had made any mistakes.
I'm sure historians will look back and say, gosh, he could have done it better this way or that way. I'm sure something will pop into my head here in the midst of this press conference, all the pressure of trying to come up with an answer.
And this is where he's hoping that device on his back will produce an answer that he can repeat.
I would have gone into Afghanistan the way we went into Afghanistan. Even though what I know today about the stockpiles of weapons, I still would have called upon the world to deal with Saddam Hussein.
So just another example of how he can really get that deer in the headlights reaction when people surprise him with a tough question like that, like, have you ever made any mistakes? Interestingly, about, 3 weeks ago, maybe a month, Tony Blair came to town and a British reporter asked him if he had made any mistakes, something along those lines, and he actually had a rehearsed answer. He said that he regretted the tone of some of his remarks, like Bring It On and Dead or Alive. And he made a kind of bizarre claim that he has tried to use more sophisticated language in his public statements. So that's a little interesting look at the president. Catching up on an email here from Steve in Salinas. Hey, Peter, thanks for having the Berkeley guys on the air. We need younger people to get more involved, and Republicans too, Steve. They're the ones who will pay the most dire costs of the Bush administration. They gave me some hope that things might improve. Why don't the Dems and the press remind the New York Times critics that Bush himself said in a news conference in 2001 that he was going to monitor financial transactions of certain groups in order to find out who was funding Al-Qaeda. Should he be arrested? Yes. Okay, Steve, thank you for your advocacy. In fact, in the reporting last night on both, I think I saw it on the NewsHour and also on Hardball on MSNBC. Oh, and also I caught part of Keith Olbermann. He's really growing on me and giving us a lot more progressive coverage and criticism of the right. At any rate, there were a couple of sequences that I saw that showed that over time, both the president and the two secretaries of the Treasury have made comments to indicate that we were actively monitoring the financial transactions of Al-Qaeda and other suspicious people. So I agree, Steve, that the president really has no basis to claim that the New York Times has acted in bad faith here. And as the progress report at the Center for American Progress today reports out, they are attempting, the Bush administration, to use swift boat tactics on the New York Times. And that's a play on words because SWIFT is this agency in Belgium, I think, that processes a lot of the international monetary transactions. So I think that's a fair statement. And we're just going to have to stay vigilant and defend the New York Times, which often disappoints us. But on this issue, I stand with them in solidarity. Well, I got to get going here. Trigger has arrived, and it's time for us to saddle up and hit the road. I'll be back at you tomorrow on the Tom Hartman Show and on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. New developments in the Middle East as Israeli forces press their search for a captured soldier. Tanks have moved into northern Gaza, and a Palestinian militant group claims to have executed an 18-year-old Jewish settler who was kidnapped in the West Bank. CBS News correspondent Sheila McVicker is covering.
Tonight, as this crisis escalates, Israel is keeping up the pressure. Earlier, Israelis fired at what they said were manufacturing sites for Palestinian mortars and hit a training ground for Hamas militants. In the south of Gaza, Israeli tanks dug in at the old airport. While women and children fled their homes, Israeli jets dropped leaflets warning their neighborhoods have become targets.
Israeli troops in the West Bank have been rounding up officials of the Hamas-led Palestinian government, including the deputy prime minister.
This really is the moment of truth for this Hamas quote-unquote government, because the Palestinian people have elected a terrorist organization, and there is this great ambiguity in the Palestinian world. Nobody knows who's really in charge.
CBS News consultant Fuad Ajami. Because some Hamas leaders operate from Syria, four Israeli warplanes sent a message today by buzzing President Assad's summer home on the Mediterranean. Reportedly, he was there at the time. Cars sloshed through high water in Phillipsburg, New Jersey, one of many communities in the Northeast coping with floodwaters after days of heavy rain. WCBS-TV's Christine Sloan reports on the evacuation from Trenton, New Jersey.
Melvina Barnes grabbed her children and left behind everything she owns.
Me and my kids, we got somewhere to go, but other people, you know, I feel bad for them because some people don't have family.
As the Delaware River began pushing over its peak, close to 1,000 residents in Trenton packed their bags and headed to higher ground.
We got closed for about a week. He told us to clear our refrigerator, so we did try to get our food out of our freezer, so we wouldn't lose that. I'm just mad about the whole thing.
In the island section of Trenton, mandatory evacuations went into effect this morning because officials fear by tomorrow the neighborhood could literally become an island.
Some 200,000 people fled their homes in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, as the Susquehanna River rose. Across the Northeast, the weather's blamed for at least a dozen deaths. The House and Senate are at odds again, this time over taxes and whether we should be able to file our tax returns online for free.